Welcome to the What's Next Summit. Get clear on your next adventure and turn that dream home, rewarding career, or health goal into reality, where we help women who are searching for their next adventure find clarity on what's next and define a clear path to manifesting their dream life. I'm your host, Lana Cummings, and it's my mission to inspire and support women to get clear on who they are and how they use their unique gifts and strengths to get what they want out of their life. In order to manifest real change in our life, we must be willing to take action on the things we learn about ourselves. In this interview, you will be given an action step that you can take that'll help you get closer to living your dream life. I would encourage you to commit to taking that one step after watching this video. Thanks so much for watching and enjoy. Today, we're speaking with Debbie Spector Weissman. Using the proven power of dream work to reveal unvoiced confidence has been the multi-year study of Debbie. She is committed to helping others find their voice through her private The Dream Coach programs and books. Her acclaimed podcast, Dream Power Radio and TV show, The Dream Power Show, have reached thousands. Here she instructs on how to understand and use dreams for greater self-awareness and finding hidden answers to unsolved problems. That sounds awesome. Welcome, Debbie, and thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you. It is my pleasure to be here.
Amazing. So first, can you tell us a little bit about, a little bit more about you and how you became interested in dream work?
Absolutely. Well, actually, I have to admit that dream work is, like I say, my third career. I came to it, you know, rather late in life because it answered a question that really had plagued me throughout my whole life, which was, you know, what was my true purpose and passion? I hadn't been leading it, and dream work really helped me find the answer to that question. For most of my life, I was a very shy, very quiet person. I didn't speak up. I waited until people spoke to me to, you know, speak to them. And so as a result, you know, I did things in life. You know, I was a writer. I was a publisher. I had a film and video production company with my husband. But I wasn't really living my passion, and I didn't feel, I felt there was something missing, in me. And through a series of events, which actually started quite ironically, I don't know if you know the film, What the Bleep Do We Know? There's a very seminal mind, body, spirit movie that really affected the lives of many, many, many thousands of people. My husband and I were actually hired to be on that movie as filmmakers. We were the post-production people on the movie. I was totally unaware of the message of the movie up to that point, which basically was, you have the power within yourself to change your life, to be who you want to be. Mm-hmm. That was a revolutionary concept for me, because at the time I was the ultimate fatalist. I felt, you know, my life had gone a certain way, and that was just the way it was going to be, and that was it. But that movie started me on a self-discovery, and it led me to dream work. Mm-hmm. Ironically, also through another movie we were involved with, which featured a remarkable dream worker named Kelly Sullivan Walden, who was a participant in the movie itself, although you didn't know anything about her work in the movie. But I got to meet her afterwards. She was starting up some dream circles. I thought, this is kind of interesting. Let me check it out. And it reawakened me. It reminded me that, you know, I remembered dreams, you know, at various points in my life, though it hadn't been a real focus of it. But through the dream circle, I really started to see how dreams could make a difference in people's lives. In one of them, you know, there was a woman who found new love because she realized that she had been hiding that aspect of herself. And, you know, another woman found, you know, a meaningful way to a new career. And I found this so interesting that when Kelly had a program to become a dream life coach opening up, I decided to take advantage of it just to learn more about dream work. When I was in the middle of the course, I had the dream, which I like to say changed my life. The interesting thing about this dream was that it wasn't this great, big, elaborate dream that went on. It wasn't even a dream with an image. It was a dream. I only woke up remembering one word, but the word was so crazy, I said, it must mean something. That word was codpiece.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but at the time, I didn't know what a codpiece was. It seemed like one of those words that you ought to know the meaning to, but if somebody asks, what does it mean? It's like, I don't know. What does it have to do with me? So I looked it up, and a codpiece is a piece of, it was a garment that men wore during the Middle Ages. It was usually made of leather. Sometimes it was made of a metal that was used to protect their genital area. And then in later years, in 1980s, it resurfaced as a costume that a lot of heavy metal rockers wore. It's like if you look at pictures of Ozzy Osbourne, you'll see he's got this big thing in front of him. And that's actually, there's a name for it. It's called a codpiece.
Okay.
I found this very interesting. But it was like, what does this have to do with me? You know, I'm not a heavy metal rocker. I wasn't even a big of a fan of heavy metal music. I love history, but Middle Ages wasn't really, you know, my favorite historical time. So what did this mean to me? I had to think about it. And as I kept asking myself the question, how does this relate to my life? It was like a light bulb went off. I said, oh, well, what is a codpiece? It is something that was a very protective layer that was used to protect something very precious, you know, to the wearer, the man. You know, genitals obviously very precious part of a man's body. And I thought, well, how does that relate to me? And then it hit me that, you know, I had put a shell around me, you know, to keep my, the quiet part of me in. I didn't express myself. That shell was my codpiece. And if I didn't want to live my life the way I was living it, I had to find a way to break out of the codpiece and be more self-expressive and let the world know who I was. And it was sort of like a feeling of relief when I had that response, because it was like, oh, I don't have to live like this. And I need to find out how to do it, but there is an answer. Well, the very next night I had another dream. And again, this dream was again, only one word. This time the word was almond. And when I woke up and remembered the word almond, I had a laugh because, you know, what's an almond? It's something that has a shell that's protecting something precious, the almond, but the almond shell isn't as thick as a codpiece. So I thought, great, I'm on the right track. I'm making progress.
Yeah.
And as a result of this, you know, I made more of an effort to speak out, to dig deep down and decide what is it that I want to say. And because of this, I got so enamored with the power of dream work. I said, I have to finish this course. I have to learn what I can. I got certified to become a dream life coach and haven't looked back since that day. I've been able to help so many people find their passion to break through their own codpieces in effect, you know, to become the people that they want to be.
Mm-hmm. Wow, well, that's a powerful story. That's really cool. I love that you just, like, you just had this kind of light bulb moment, right? Like, just out of nowhere. It's just like, oh, I get it. Like, it was right in front of you kind of the whole time, right? And you just have this light bulb moment. That's awesome. And so, it's important to understand that there is, first of all, it's kind of fun to realize that your dreams actually can have meaning or do have meaning, because that's kind of a question I've always kind of wondered, if dreams are actually, if they have some sort of meaning, or if there is something to them, if we should be paying more attention to them.
Oh, absolutely. I can't say it better than the acclaimed, noted dream worker, Jeremy Taylor, said it. He was a man, fortunately, he died a few years ago, but he was one of the great leaders of, the late 20th century dream work. He was actually one of the founders of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, which is an organization I belong to. And this quote has stayed with me because I think it is so true and it just speaks to that. And what he said was that all dreams reflect inborn creativity and the ability to face and solve life's problems.
Oh, shivers.
And I truly believe that. It's not always easy. It's not always instant. It's not always like, oh, I have a dream and this dream is going to change everything in my life. Not quite. However, if you start a practice of dream work and really paying attention to your dreams, it will give you valuable guidance that can help you throughout your life.
Mm-hmm. So if you are somebody who is listening to this podcast, you're here because there's something that is something in your life that you want to change, something that you want to achieve. Or maybe there's been a big change and you're kind of trying to figure out your next step and how to move forward. How did dreams play into that? And how can they help us discover what's next in our life?
Well, here's the thing about dreams, and I'm going to get a little bit wonky here, but stay with me because it'll be worth it. Right now, as I'm speaking to you and everybody in their waking life, the part of our brain that is the active part of the brain that's working right now is our prefrontal cortex. That's the part that where we think and move and act and react and everything that keeps us going while we're awake. It's also the part of our brain that also keeps all those things. Like right now, maybe you're aware of it, maybe you're not, but you're thinking thoughts in your head right now that don't have anything to do with what I'm saying or what you're saying. Somebody watching this may be thinking, you're listening to what I'm saying, but you're also looking at the rainbow behind me and you're wondering, well, what's that about? And, do you like my jacket or, my curly hair weird or whatever? You're thinking all kinds of thoughts going on, even as you're paying attention to my words. And that all goes on in your daytime life. At nighttime, that part of our brain shuts off. And the back part of our brain, our subconscious, is the part of our brain that wakes up. The subconscious doesn't involve itself with all those, random thoughts that are going on in the daytime. Our subconscious is only involved with our deepest beliefs, our deepest thoughts. So the dreams that we have really reflect our, what we really think. It doesn't involve all those things that go on, to distract us. So if we pay attention to those thoughts, they really can give us valuable information that may be shut off to us during our daytime life. The unfortunate thing about it is that these thoughts aren't in plain English or in whatever language you're speaking in. They're in symbols. So a lot of times, even if we have dreams, we don't even pay attention to them because they seem weird. And it's like, oh, that's just so strange and crazy. It can't mean anything. It's just a bunch of gibberish. But if you take time to look at those symbols, to figure out what they mean, they are going to give you information that can be answers to the problems that you're dealing with in your daytime life.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really cool. Very exciting. So if you are like you were trying to kind of, you're kind of in a place where you're looking to find your purpose or to discover what you're really supposed to be doing or where you're supposed to be at. These dreams, when we are able to understand them and kind of break them down a little bit,
then he can actually help us kind of get a clear idea of how we can move forward or what we're maybe meant to be doing. Is that right?
Yes. And what we could do is there's a practice called dream declaration. And that's where you make a statement that you write down or and say to yourself right before you go to sleep, which can help you remember the dream and also give you answers to what you're looking for. And let's say, you know, like me, I was quiet and I could make a dream declaration. How can I be more self-expressive? And I'll write that down on a piece of paper. I will, as I'm lying back in bed, just ready to go to sleep, I'll repeat that question several times in my head to sort of imprint it in my brain and sleep on it. Now, when we're looking for specific answers to specific questions, the dream, we may not get the answer in the dream we have that first night. It's a process. The analogy I always like to make with this, it's like working out. You know, if you go to the gym and you do one push-up, you're not in shape. So if you make a dream declaration and you're not someone who's a regular dreamer who does this all the time, who's got it down pat, if you're doing it for the first time, you know, it's like a workout. You have to practice at it. Mm-hmm. So the first night you say this, you know, you might not even remember your dream, or the dream might not give you anything meaningful. But if you keep this up on a daily basis and make this a habit, you will have a dream that's going to give you some kind of meaningful answer to that question. Now, again, it's going to be in symbols. So you have to pay attention and dig down and figure out what those symbols mean, because otherwise you'll say, oh, I'm just getting gibberish. This is crazy. And then come to the conclusion, this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But trust me, it does. When you believe in it, believe it's going to work, and take the time to pay attention to it, it will work.
Awesome. And so how do you know when you've had a dream that has some sort of meaning that you need to look into?
Well, what you do, first of all, as part of this practice, before you go to bed, make sure that you have a way of remembering your dream at hand. Because one of the elusive things about dreams is that because they happen in our extreme short-term memory, unless we have a way of recording them, they're going to go away, no matter how powerful they are. And believe me, I've made this mistake so many times, you know, and it's very easy mistake to make, because so many times you might have a dream while you're having it, you think, oh, wow, this is so intense. This is such an amazing dream. There's no way in the world I'm going to ever forget it. And then if you get up and it's gone. So what you do is you either, you know, have a pad and a pencil next to your bed so you can write down your dream, or they have dream apps you can get for your phone. So, which makes it very easy if you're technologically inclined, you could just turn around, press the button, and you could talk into it and it'll record your dream. Either way will work. I'm kind of old school. I like to write it down. The other part of it, the other trick to remembering a dream is when you're in that moment and you're thinking about that dream and thinking, oh my God, this is so intense and I've got to remember everything about it. Before you do anything, before you even turn around and write it down, don't move. Because even a physical movement in that state will have the dream escape. So while you're lying still, repeat the dream to yourself over and over and over until you've got a good sense of it. And then turn around and write it down or record it. And even then, you'll find that as you're writing, you probably are forgetting things also. Mm-hmm. The good news is, though, in the morning, when you actually wake up, you know, start your day, and you look at what you've read or you replay what you wrote, it'll help you remember other parts of that dream as you're doing that process. And then you write it down again so you make sure you remember it, or record it again so you make sure you remember it. And then you can go back and look at that dream and see what it means or see what it means to you. And the other part of it is, if you're totally in the dark, if you look at it and you say, I can't figure out anything about it, then you come to a person like me, trained to understand how to figure out what the symbols mean, how to figure out how the dream relates to you, and you go on from there.
Okay. Yeah, great, because I was going to ask that. So then what do we do with this information, right? So yeah, because there's probably not much, you're probably not going to get very far, and I'm speaking from experience here, looking up dreams online, right? Like, unless there's one simple symbol or word or something like you received, that maybe you could kind of start to dig into. But really, it's what you're saying is the best way to really understand if the dream has meaning or what that meaning is to speak to somebody who has the understanding and the knowledge behind it, right?
Right. Because what I do in my practice, when I help someone understand their dream, I just ask a series of questions to really dig down into what's going on with the dream. My belief is that I don't tell you what your dream means, because only you know what your dream means. Mm-hmm. You know, I can ask you leading questions to help you come to that conclusion so that you have that light bulb moment. You have that aha moment where you say, oh, this is what it means. And I will say one thing about dream dictionaries or looking up symbols online. They're helpful in that those meanings, are meanings that derive from, years and years of thousands and thousands of people's dreams. And some symbols have common meanings. However, they don't always apply to you. Mm-hmm. And I found this out very, very early in my practice. One of my first clients had this dream that involved chickens. Now, if you look up chickens in a dream dictionary or online, it's going to refer to fear or being intimidated or, just feeling, small. And it has a sort of a slightly negative connotation. But this woman's dream, was kind of a happy dream. And so it didn't make sense to me. Why are there chickens in this dream? Well, it turned out that she lived on a farm. She raised chickens. She had chickens as pets. She loved chickens. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't going to have that meaning to her. So it's always important to ask, what does this symbol mean to me? Because it's not always going to align with the standard definition that you will find in places.
Yeah. And I feel like for me, and in the things that I help people with, and I do myself, is really feeling into like new information about myself, right? So I don't know if this would be helpful or not, but if you were kind of evaluating your dream, or like you were speaking with someone like you and you were asking, like if it was me and you were asking me questions about, okay, well, how did this feel, or what is this about? And do you think that it's important to answer the questions with what feels right or what you think is right? Do you know what I'm trying to get at? Because I feel like if you had said to her, okay, what about these chickens? What's going on with these chickens? She might have been like, I don't know, right? But maybe there was a part of her that was like, I love chickens. So I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have this feeling towards chickens. I like chickens. I don't know if I'm clarifying and making that clear or not, but feeling your way forward into discovering what the dream really means instead of
logic. Well, two other components that also play a factor in understanding a dream is, how does it relate to what's going on in your life? And because it will usually harken back to something that happened, the day before or very recently before you had the dream. That's one thing. And the other very important part of a dream is the emotional aspect of the dream, how you feel about it. Like I said, with that woman, she felt happy about the dream, and that made all the difference in the world, because you and I can have identical dreams that have the identical same incidents in them. you could feel happy about your dream and I could feel upset about the dream, and they will have two entirely different meanings just because of the emotional impact of them.
Yeah. So
it's always an important factor to look at.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. It's just like the feeling or the energy behind the dream and the experience that you had in your dream. Awesome. Yeah. So now you have a book coming out, right, too? And you were saying, you were telling me a little bit about it. Can you talk to us about this work that you've been doing and how, you know, I believe you were saying something about the book being about increasing our self-confidence. So how does dreams and self-confidence, how do they go together and how do they relate?
Sure. Well, I'm the contributing author in a new book called Amazing Women, It's Your Time to Emerge. And what I speak about in the book is the relationship between dreams and our confidence. And one of the things, like I said, when we look at dreams as being able to, you know, find aspects of our life, you know, we want to develop and have emerge. If you ask somebody, you know, what is the thing that's holding me back from finding that? Either the answer is going to be, I don't know, or the answer will probably be fear. And one thing about that, in speaking about fear, is that we are all have fear. You know, I don't know anybody in the world who doesn't carry fear with them. I was a little fearful about, you know, speaking to you right now. And in anything, you know, there's always a bit of fear going on in everything that goes on. However, the difference between people who are confident and self-confident is people who aren't self-confident will feel that fear and then not do anything. Mm-hmm. People who are confident will feel that fear and say, you know what, I'm afraid, but I'm going to do it anyway because I know what I'm talking about. I feel good about myself, and what I have to do or say is important enough that I'm going to overcome the fear and do it. So I looked at the idea of, you know, how can we use our dreams to improve our self-confidence? And so I looked at it in the way of using the idea of dreams helping us find the answer to what is it that's helping hold us back from finding our confidence, finding us to be the people we are. And what it usually comes down to are what I call self-limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. The things that we either tell ourselves or things that we don't even aware that we tell ourselves that keep us stuck. You know, for some people it's, you know, I'm not good enough, or, you know, I'm stupid, or, you know, nobody will care, whatever it is. You know, for me, for many years, I had the self-limiting belief of, you know, I'm not good enough, and even I'm invisible. And I carried that around many, many years before I was able to break through it, thankfully, through understanding and working with my dreams. So using the idea of dream remembrance and making a dream declaration, it can help us find those self-limiting beliefs that are holding us back. And when we work on fixing that, when we work on understanding them and overcoming those self-limiting beliefs, that builds our confidence. That helps us understand, I don't have to be that person who feels little. I don't have to be that person who's not heard or who doesn't feel cared for. Because I am an important person. I am a loving person. I am a person who has something to say. And when you change your focus from those, you know, the fear-based feelings of I'm not good enough to I am not only good enough, but I'm going to let the world know I'm good enough, you know, it changes everything. And that's where it helps us regain our confidence. And one of the things I want to say about confidence, it's not like something that we have to get. Confidence is inside us. It has always been inside us. To give you a little bit of example of that, harken back to when you were a baby. maybe you don't remember being a baby, but you know, I'm sure you have pictures or videos of when you were a baby and just starting to learn how to walk. And what happened was you took a couple of steps and you stumbled. And what happened? You probably laughed because this is fun. This is funny. It's like, I'm up, I'm standing. This is like a whole great new, different way of looking at the world. And I like this. And oh, boom, I fell. And okay, I'm going to get up and do it again. And you did it again. You did it again. Not because you didn't say to yourself, I can't do this. This is terrible. I can't. I'm never going to succeed. You didn't do that. You were like, no, I'm going to do this. It might take a little practice. It might take a little work, but I'm going to do this. And because you had that confidence and that was always there. And over the years, when life happens and things are said to us or done to us, or we do things that chip away at that, that impose those self-limiting beliefs on us, that keep us small, that keep us from not wanting to do the things that deep down we want to do. When we get through that, when we rediscover, when we chip away at removing those beliefs and getting back to the essence of who we were, that's when our confidence reemerges. And once we feel that confidence, then new worlds open to us.
Yeah, it's so true. And just like the thing that changes there between the limiting belief and the new belief is that you make a choice, right? You decide. It's like the person who has courage, like you were explaining earlier with that self-confidence, you can still decide to move through that scary thing, even though you feel afraid. And it's really, it comes down to just choosing. And, you know, like the little baby who keeps falling, they just choose to get back up again. Like it's not, there's not, they don't have that belief that they've learned over time throughout their life. So they just automatically keep going. And I love how you said you can kind of go back to that moment and recognize that you had that self-confidence before. And you know, you can take that self-confidence and use that to move forward and have a new belief and base that belief on the fact that you do have this confidence inside of you and it's been there the whole time. And so you can use that as a launching pad into moving into what it is that you want for your life, right?
Oh, absolutely. And because many times we don't even realize we have the choice. Mm-hmm. You know, we just think it's like I said, when I was the fatalist, had that fatalist view of life, things were the way they were. I had no choice, but we do have the choice. And one of the other things I love about dream work is that it makes by following our dreams and paying attention, we learn so much about ourselves. We get so much more self-aware. And having that self-awareness also makes us realize that there are so many possibilities out there for us and we get to choose what we want. Mm-hmm. And having, you know, getting back to the light bulb moment, having that light bulb moment of realizing I can choose what I want is just the most amazing feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. It's so true. And then how does this process of building our self-confidence relate to building our dreams and becoming more loving of ourselves? So what is the connection between self-love and dreams as well?
Well, again, having that self-awareness really makes you realize that, hey, I don't have to live by these beliefs that are keeping me little. You know, I can be the loving person that I've always been. Again, it's like confidence. Love is always within us and we have to rediscover it. And dreams help us do this in a big way. Another thing we can do is to cement these beliefs in us by going back and again, making the dream declaration of, you know, dreams show me the love I have inside me, which just will reinforce that feeling of self-love. And that also comes from, you know, the emergence of confidence. When we're confident in ourselves, we love ourselves more. We feel better about ourselves. We have more energy, and it's kind of a spiral upward. You know, we're starting from this, you know, moving from this place of feeling want to feeling whole, feeling complete, feeling energized, feeling motivated, feeling like, you know, the world is out there for us to grab. And it's just a continuing process. And the more you feel that way, the more you believe that way, and you cement that belief in into your being. There's another wonky thing I could get into called the reticular activation system, which is the part of our brain that keeps beliefs in us that are very hard to shake once they happen. So again, like that feeling I had in me, like I was, you know, quiet and, you know, didn't mean anything. That belief changed inside me as a result of working with my dreams and becoming who I am now. And I now have a different belief that's cemented in me that is, you know, it's not going to change just by somebody saying, you know, something negative to me or, you know, some criticism. You know, there was a time when if somebody criticized me for something, I'd be devastated. Most horrible thing in the world. And now it's like, okay, I can hear it. I may have a momentary moment of feeling bad about it, but then I can acknowledge it and move on. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. And that's the difference that you can have when you work with your dreams that makes it so worthwhile.
It's like opening, dreams are like allowing us to open Pandora's box, right? Like just open up this world that we've kind of shut down or we've closed in and help us build on not only our self-confidence, but that love, that remind us of that love that we have for ourselves and that, and how important that is. So I love how dreams just kind of just open up this whole world for us. And it's neat how you can get messages for your life and how to move forward and how to, you know, kind of be able to work through the fear, all from having a dream. I think that's really awesome.
Well, it really is, you know, and it takes me back to, you know, that original quote, you know, all dreams reflect inborn creativity and the ability to face and solve life's problems. Mm. If you take that to heart and really believe that, you know, that's step one to living the life that you love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. So now you've given us a few tips so far as we've been talking about how to, you know, use our dreams to move forward in life. So is there any other, let's say, what's the first step that we can take right now today to actually to understand our dreams and to help us follow our dreams?
Well, the first step above all else is to believe in your heart that dreams are important. Because if you don't, if you listen to this and say, okay, I'm going to try a dream, but and I'll see what happens, I'll see if it makes a difference. You know, you may not get there. You truly have to believe that is going to make a difference in your life. That is the very first step. And then once you're there, then, you know, you could follow the tips, you know, to remembering your dream and making the dream declaration and going through that and analyzing it and figuring it out and going through all of those steps after what. But the most important thing is just believe in dreams, believe in the power of dreams, because they will open up new worlds for you.
Wow, so cool. Awesome. I'm so glad that we had this talk today. I learned a lot and I still have tons more questions. So maybe we can do a follow-up interview at some point too. But for today, I think that was great. Really introduced us to our dreams and how we can use them to step forward into our new life. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I love talking about dreams. Anytime, anywhere.
Awesome. Thank you so much.